suspect you know what's happening today is that we'll finish the Mass a little bit earlier, about 9:45, because there is a Bible study competition on the Gospel of St. Mark, and it'll take place straight after the liturgy here in the church. And it'll run from 9:45 till 10:15. It's only going to be half an hour, and it's going to be really interesting to stay and watch, because it's going to be a buzzer system. There'll be 50 participants, and we'll each have buzzers, and they'll answer their... They'll respond with their little buzzers, and the results will be displayed on the screen. And so it'll be a very interesting competition, and there's lots of good prizes. And so after the video, we'll finish a bit early and stay back and enjoy this competition. And we can learn from the questions and the answers that we provide. But for now, we'll hear a contemplation on today's Gospel from Mark. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.
I'll just start by telling you a very short story. Actually, seeing as there's a priest here, it's more of a confession. A couple of years ago on my way to uni, it struck me that I had an exam scheduled for that day. I knew I had the exam, but since I decided not to study for it, I also decided to forget about it. It was one of those like multiple choice exams, you know, you have a computer in front of you, you finish question one, and then you submit, and you can't go back. So you question one, submit, question two, you can't go back. Anyway, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing, and about 15 or 16 questions in, I started freaking out. How the heck am I going to explain to my parents that I failed an exam because I didn't study for it? In any Egyptian home, that equates to the death penalty. So anyway, back then I didn't care all that much about praying or having any real relationship with God, but desperate times called for desperate measures. So I remember looking up to the ceiling and just saying, God, I know I did absolutely nothing, but just show me how hectic you can be. Just do something cool for me right now. I didn't hold out much hope of God answering my prayers, but as I looked back down, my eyes wandered a little bit to the screen of the guy standing there, sitting next to me. And to my excitement, he was on the exact same question as me. What are the chances, you know? What are the chances that I pray and then look back down? This guy's on the exact same question as me. God really does answer our prayers. For a solid 5 minutes, I waited for this guy to submit his answer. He would pick A, I would pick A. He would pick B, I would pick B. But he delayed clicking and submitting an answer just long enough for my conscience to override this burning desire not to fail, and I just went for a Hail Mary and guessed the rest of the questions. It wasn't until after the exam that I discovered that this guy was actually cheating off my exam. Needless to say, we both failed miserably. You might be wondering what this story has to do with the Gospel of today, and the answer right now is absolutely nothing. But if you paid careful attention to the readings of today, you may have noticed that there was a common theme within the readings, particularly between the Acts and the Gospel. And between all these readings, there is a phrase or a concept that is shared, and that is the will of God. If you observe in the last verse of today's Gospel, Jesus looks around at those who are sitting in a circle around him, and he says, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." And that's the verse we're going to be focusing on today. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Imagine being mentioned as a member of the family of Christ. To be mentioned as his brother or his sister or his mother, it's the single greatest honor we can receive on this earth. And the only thing required of us to do is his will. And that right there is a million-dollar question. The question we've all been asking ourselves for a very long time. What is the will of God for my life? Every person sitting in this church today, or most people sitting in this church today, would have at some point in their life asked this particular question in one way or another. Is it God's will that I take this job off? Is it God's will for me to marry this particular person? Is it God's will that I attend this university? Is the will of God for me to cheat in this exam? Sometimes we think that the answer to these sorts of questions can be found by simply opening up the Bible to any page and finding the name of the girl I'm supposed to marry, for example. It's not always that simple. There's a famous story, some of you might have heard before, of someone who once tried that exact thing. There was something he was a bit confused about and needed God's guidance for. He wanted to know what God wanted him to do. So he opened up the Bible to any random page, closed his eyes, and pointed anywhere on the page. And when he opened his eyes, this is what he read. "So Isaiah walked naked and barefoot for 3 days. That can't be right. So he gave it another crack, one more time. See what God wants to... the message God wants to send in that day. So he flipped again, closed his eyes, pointed on the page, and he read this. "What you do, do quickly. So he gave up because the Bible, God wasn't going to give him that message in that way. Sometimes God does speak to us in that way, but it's not always that simple. So what is the will of God for my life? At the end of the day, God's ultimate will for my life is that I'm saved. He wants me to be holy. He wants me to be a member of his family. In his letter to the Thessalonians, St. Paul says, this is the will of God, your sanctification. And again in Romans 12, he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why is this his will? What does it matter if I'm good? It matters because God knows where the righteous way leads. He knows where the good way leads. He knows the destination, and it's God's will that we all reach that destination, which is heaven. And so all these little decisions that we make along the way, what university to attend, who to marry, what job to take, where to travel, they should all be made with the ultimate goal in mind, and that is our salvation. In today's Acts, we read that St. Paul was headed to Jerusalem, and it was prophesied by a man named Agabus that he'd be bound by the Jews and delivered into the hands of the Gentiles to be killed. As soon as the people heard this, they begged him to stay. St. Paul, just stay with us, be safe, don't worry about joining, don't worry about the Gentiles. And listen to his response. He says this, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And the people around him stopped begging him to stay and said, the will of God be done. St. Paul was a man who had heaven at the forefront of his mind. And so he was ready to accept whatever God would for him in his life in order to obtain it, even if that meant death. You think of any destination. Say you're going to the movies with your friends. As long as you have the movies in your mind, the drive is bearable because you know that eventually you'll be sitting down enjoying a movie with your friends. The moment, the instant you forget where you're going, if you forget where you're headed, there is a capacity for all hell to break loose. Far out, why is it so stuffy in here? It's so hot. What's with this terrible traffic? I hate the driver. The guy next to me stinks. Everything begins to frustrate you. And it's the same thing with our journey to heaven. As long as you have the goal in mind, all the traffic along the in your way becomes bearable. God promises us that. As soon as we forget where we're going, we allow the obstacles in our way to overwhelm us and we lose sight of the will of God in our lives. So now we know the will of God is for us to make heaven our ultimate destination in life. What then? How do we then come to accept or choose his will for our lives? If we go back to the story of the exam at the beginning, what is the teacher's ultimate will for me regarding that exam? She doesn't want me to reach a point of desperation where I'm anxiously looking around, you know, trying to find someone to cheat on. She spends a whole year teaching us the content. For what purpose? For what purpose? For sure she wants me to do well. It's her job to give us everything we need to do just that. And it's a reflection of her as a teacher if I do well. If I do well, it means she's a good teacher. But just because it's her will for me to do well, and just because she's given me everything I need to do well, it doesn't guarantee that I'll actually do well. I have to put in my effort. I need to study and work hard and do everything in my power to accomplish her will for me. And it's the same thing with the will of God. It's not enough that God's will for me is to go to heaven. I need to choose his will. I need to accept his will for my life. God has given me free will to do his will. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, God says this, and it really helped me understand the concept of choosing the will of God in my life. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. Choose life. I want for you to choose life. I know where that decision leads, but you need to choose. You need to decide. You need to decide if you want to be a part of my family and do my will. If you wish to dwell in this home that I have prepared for you. With every decision you make, think of life. Keep salvation at the forefront of your mind. God has done the hard part already. He sent his only begotten Son to die for me, to teach me what it means to struggle for the kingdom of heaven. All that is required of me is to suffer just a fraction of that for a much shorter period of time. The rest is in God's hands, and we place full reliance on him, trusting that he will lead us where we want to go. And this idea is mentioned in Proverbs 16:9, which states, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. What this means is that I decided the destination, and God will direct me in that way. It's exactly like a navigator. You punch in the location you're headed, and you trust that the directions that the navigator gives you will lead you there. And even if you happen to take the wrong turn along the way and fall off track, it reroutes and gets you immediately back on track. The reason the will of God in our everyday decisions is such a mystery is because sometimes it's hard to believe just how good God is to us. Maybe you're sitting here today and someone close to you is going through something. Maybe there's someone you know who's sick or dying or going through a divorce. And maybe that person is you yourself. And you're not sure if you'll be able to accept the will of God in that case. But be sure of this. The closest distance between your anxiety and your peace is the distance between your knees and the floor. The closest distance between confusion regarding God's will and clarity is the distance between your knees and the floor. God has planned your whole life in a way that leads to eternal life with Him. He's invited you into His heavenly family because He loves you and wants what's best for you. When you fall off track, He's prepared a path that leads you back to Him. When you reach a fork in the road, He's instilled within you the capacity to hear His voice guiding you onto the rightful path prepared for you. Pope Paulus says, and this is a promise, "My child, trust that the Lord is kinder on you than you are to yourself, and if you call upon Him, you will find Him." So we have to believe that the will of God will be accomplished in our lives, no matter what obstacles we may face. We focus so much of our lives on the question, we lose sight of the answer. We focus too much of our lives on the problems, we lose sight of the solution. We allow ourselves to be imprisoned by all these trivial decisions we have to make in our lives, we lose sight of the escape. But we all are equally as close to getting back on track. It just depends on who's willing to kneel down earnestly before the Lord and claim His will for their life. I started with a story, so I ended on as well. There was once a widow who lived alone with her son in a very rusty looking home. And when her son grew older, he became very successful and moved out of town. And every month he'd send her an envelope. But you know, the poor old lady, she didn't know how to read English, so she'd take the envelope, kiss the envelope, and put it under her pillow. Every single month, same thing. For months. Many, many months. The people in the community noticed that she still lived in this very poor home and her son had become successful, so they'd come to her and be like, "You know, why are you still living in this home? You know, your son's successful, why didn't he lend you some cash so you can move out and go somewhere nicer?" And she said, "No, it's okay, you know, I love my son, as long as he's happy, it's fine, I'm happy in this home." Anyway, after a short while, her son decided to come and give her a surprise visit. So he came back home and he noticed his mum's living scenario. So he said, "Mum, what are you doing living in this poor home?" He said, no, it's okay, you know, Habibi, no, it's alright, you know, as long as you're happy, I'm okay." And he said, "But Mum, why? Well, why are you living in this home?" She said, no, as long as you're healthy, you know, I'm healthy, I'm living, it's fine, you know, I've got it, that's it." He said, "But Mum, I send you money every month. Those letters that you're putting under your pillows are all checks. Enough to buy a new house." And we often do that with the promises of God. You know, His promise of leading us to eternal life. His promise of being part of His family. All these promises are kissed and hidden away under a pillow. How often do we read a passage in our Bibles, and when we finish, we kiss it, put it under our pillows without claiming and reflecting on His words? Nothing to be done about it. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day we need to get on our knees and claim this promise of God, that He will accomplish His will in our lives. Today the Lord promises us that if we do His will, we will be mentioned as members of His family. The will of God is our salvation. So let us lift up our hearts and our hands in prayer and ask God to help us choose life and accomplish His will in our lives, today and every day, so that we may become worthy of being mentioned as part of the family of Christ. And glory be to God for a moment.
Truly, I believe in one God, the Almighty God, the Father, and Maker of heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father,